Well, my name is Eleanor Becker. I'm one of the pastors here at The Rock. And it is such an honor to me this morning to speak to you. Pastor Deborah is out of town just for this morning. She couldn't be here today. She'll be back next week. But in her absence, she has asked me, she's given me the topic and notes and asked me to bring this message to you and, of course, send her love and greetings to all of you here this morning. God has something in store for us. We always say at The Rock, you don't come to hear from a man or a woman. And you know the ritual we go through, from the short, the tall, the whatever. You come to hear from God. And we are here to hear from God as our Heavenly Father. So how many of you are parents in here? A lot of you, most of you. Have you ever been in the situation that there is something that you have to talk to your kids about? Something you have to talk to your, especially your children. Always something you have to talk to your husband about, right? But that's a different topic, a different day, a different story. Let's talk about the kids. Always something you need to talk to your kids about because you watch them and you see them do things, make decisions, get involved in stuff that you know they need your advice. You know they are heading to what is not necessarily the best for them. Has anyone of you ever been in that situation? Now, it's easy when the kids are little. You take the candy away. Not easy, but you know. You can bribe them, you can threaten them, and as how many of you know, as they get older, it gets more challenging. How many of you have adult children you need to talk to? Oh my goodness, we need a class in that. My adult kids that needs to be talked to. Why is that? Because you are sure in your heart, you know you've lived long enough, you're wise enough to know that there's something they are not quite getting, right? That will bless them down the road. You want just the best for your children. How willing are they always to listen to you? How many of you have older teenagers or adult children come to you and say, Mom, I know you have some wisdom that you have to put in my life, and I know I don't always get it, so won't you just sit me down and, Mom, just tell me the way it is? Anybody? Oh, my goodness. Okay, you laugh. But do you know that's exactly how we are with God? That kid, adult or teenage kid, that's you and that's me. That God says, child, I have something for you. I have a blessing for you. You're heading down the wrong road. You're not going the way of blessing. The way you are going is not going where you think it's going. So I need to talk to you. So now, see, at this point, everything still goes good. And you, yes, Lord, speak. And then we come to the time of the message and we say, okay, we are going to talk about finances. There are no cheers. It's like everybody, not everybody, but you know, the hush comes and it's like, do we have to listen to that again? How much of that? And you know what? You're acting just like that kid that you're trying to help. God is our Father, ladies. We are not standing here speaking words of men. We are standing here with this campaign that we are in, the Freedom for Our Future campaign that we are in. And you have to admit, every message going out is pure scripture. It's the word of God. You have heard many, many messages. I have never in my entire life of serving God heard so many, such amazing and revolutionary messages on finances, giving, and giving than the last couple of weeks here at The Rock. We are just so blessed. So we're going to continue. And if I say to you this morning, if you know or if you knew there was a way to have more money, can I see any that you'd want to know what that way is? Did you see, have you seen that commercial? I forgot what the commercial is, but I think it's some kind of insurance. That they sit the little kids around a table. You know what I'm talking about? And the little girl, they talk about, do you want more? Have you seen that? I should have had that on video. And the girl said, yes, we want more. Because if we don't have more, then not having more is not nice. And we have to have more. And it's these little kids just talking about just a pure, you know, expression of the flesh of mankind. Yes, I want more. And those of you who say you don't want more, you are just not admitting it. You're just trying to be all spiritual, sitting there, no, I just want to be poor. No, you're a liar. You want more. Do you know that there is word, there is scripture about more? It's actually in the Bible. It's actually our Father God's pleasure to give us more. How many of you want to see your kids in poverty financially? You will do anything to set your kids up for success. All of us, we go to great lengths to set our kids up for success. And God wants to do the same thing this morning, but He needs for us to listen. He needs for us to open our hearts. So here we go. We are going to talk about finances again this morning, God's economic recovery plan. So it's going to be good. As I prepared the message, yeah, we have three people on the front row that's happy about that. God's economic recovery plan. We're talking about money. Yes. Yesterday, as I was preparing my message, twice my screen of my computer froze. I had to turn off the whole computer, and when the documents came back, my work was gone twice. And I'm like, God, you know, I always think, what are you telling me? Because I was so angry. I was just really beside myself, angry. I was just really angry. I'm like, to the point of almost tears. And I'm thinking, if I cry about this, that would be so stupid. But I was just so angry. And, you know, one thing I can take from that is that's how many of us and many of you feel about your money. You've just lost it. You just feel that you work and you work and you work and you work, and suddenly something freezes. A glitch comes in the computer. A glitch comes in life. And you turn around and you say, where is it? What I thought was going to be there is no longer there. What I did have is no longer there. What I had here is no longer here. And you have all those emotions that you have to deal with, that you get angry, you get upset, you get disappointed. And as far as money and finances go, it runs very deep. And you know how women especially, I think women, if we look at ourselves honestly, you remember things like elephants, don't you? I'll ask your husbands. They'll tell me. Do you know that the husband tells us this? Husbands tell us, my wife just remembers everything. Everything I've ever said that was wrong. Everything I've ever done that was wrong. Everything, she remembers the detail. I don't even know about it anymore. And whoops, there she brings it out. We have a capacity to love and to influence, but as women, we have a capacity to harbor things in our hearts for a long, long time. And you know what? If you, this whole topic about money makes you uncomfortable, that's a sure sign this is for you. Because God wants you to get to the point where we talk about money in the church, that you are ready to hear and that you are faith-filled and that you truly trust God. So I think all of us, to some degree or the other, have a tinge of oh my, you know, but the oh my side, we experience it, but we just don't go that way. When we feel that, oh my, what am I going to do? Then it's the flag that needs to go up for us as God's invitation to say, child, now you walk in faith. We are called to walk in faith. So that is what we're going to do. We're going to look at the Word of God in the last couple weeks. Just a briefly, week one, Pastor Debbie talked about the two kingdoms. She spoke about that in the sanctuary also this week. An amazing message. If you didn't get those messages, you really need to go back and listen to it. How she started the first day when in the series of finances, she started about the kingdoms. And I was sitting back there and I think, okay, Pastor Debbie, I'm on board. I want to see how you're going to do this. Talking about the kingdom of God and bringing that around to finances, and how amazing. Listen, the kingdom of God, where there's a kingdom, there's a king. Where there's a king, there's a government. Where there's a government, there are rules that apply. So whichever kingdom you function in, you are submitted to the rules of that kingdom. Two kingdoms functioning on this earth, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of God. If you function in the kingdom of darkness, you are submitting yourself to the rule of that kingdom. But if you function in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of faith, then you are subjected to the rules of that kingdom. So amazing revelation there. Then week two, Pastor David talked about the power of generosity. Proverbs 11, 24, 25 says, the world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy. Okay, now that is a stingy. There's so much in that word, doesn't it? What comes to mind? It's in the Bible. Wow. Okay. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. Basically, when you're stingy and you hold, it's all about you, and you are really very small. But when you are generous, you are spreading it, your world gets bigger. Then I think of the little teaspoon Pastor Jim told us about that you measure, or you're going to take a shovel and measure with a shovel. That is how your world changes in size according to your generosity. The one who blesses others is abundantly blessed. Then week three, last week, she talked to us about tithing. She talked about tithing, what tithing is, and why we tithe, how we tithe, where we tithe, and when we tithe. And we had to understand that Malachi says when you don't tithe, you are walking in the kingdom of darkness and you are subjected to the rules of that kingdom. You may not see it immediately, but you are subjected to the one who came to steal, kill, and destroy. Scripture. On this side, if you walk in tithing and generosity and giving, you are now functioning under the rule of God's kingdom, which has his consequences, which is blessing. I have a little slide of apple pie. Can you pull that slide up for me? Oh, I just couldn't resist it. I just had to do the pie. Okay. The pie is sliced in 10 slices. Okay. The pie is your money, your salary, your income, whatever it is that you get in is one pie. There could be 1,000, 5,000, 500, whatever is in your pie. When you slice it up on the left side, when you slice it up in 10 slices, and did you see the first slice out? The first slice out, that is your tithe, okay? And now the rest of the pie is blessed. According to God's word, he says, I will rebuke the devourer. When the car was going to break, it's not going to break. When the washing machine is going to quit, it's not going to quit. When Satan is going to keep some income away from you and jobs away from you, the doors are going to open. Now you have 9 out of 10 pieces of pie, but you have 9 blessed pieces of pie. That's what a tithe is one slice of the pie. On the other hand, have the pie and eat it if you like. Take the whole pie. But now you're eating cursed pie. How many of you would eat that apple pie if you knew the person, you know where I'm going with this? When they mixed it in their kitchen, big batch of, you know, apple mixture, and they just took a little bit of dog poop. Just that much. And just dropped it in the apple mix. I'd say that pie is cursed, would you? Oh, that's about, why don't we remember that? That mind picture. On that side, the Bible says you can keep everything. You still go to heaven. You still come to church. We just love you the same. God died for you. The blood of Jesus is all of that is the same. But you will be eating a cursed pie. It's just the way it is. Amazing when 9 slices are blessed, they're just blessed. They just go further. They taste better. Your world gets bigger. You keep all the pie for yourself. Now you've got a 1 slice more. But you are willing to sacrifice that 1 slice for the contaminated pie. That's the summary of tithing right there. So, our message for today. Today we're going to look at, I told you, what would you do if you knew that you could get more. Tithing, number one, is our first step. But today we are going to talk about getting your finances in order. Getting some budgeting going and figuring out where your money is going. Because the Bible says in Luke 16, verse 10, if you are faithful in little, you will be trusted with more. Right? So you have to be faithful in the little, And being faithful in the little means that I know the state of my flock. I know what I'm getting in. Some of us, you know, are like that ostrich with your head in the ground. You just kind of go with your head in the ground and just spend money, spend money, spend money. That's a pretty silly thing to do. But before you can be trusted with more, ladies, we have to be diligent with what we have. I do not want to take a show of hands right now, but in your own hearts, you will know if you do not know the state of your finances. You will know if you are not sure how much money you spent this last week. You probably don't know the state of your affairs. If you don't know, if I should ask you in the previous month, did you have money short or did you have money over? And you don't know that, it's because you don't want to know that. And if you don't know that in numbers, if you're not sure about those numbers, then you do not know the state of your flock. If you have a child that wants stuff, wants stuff, wants stuff, and they just break everything, break and squander, you're going to say, no. I bought you a tricycle, and you're going to learn how to take care of this tricycle, not put the hammer to it like my grandbaby. Man, takes that hammer, and he beats that tricycle. It's like, okay. We're going to have to teach this boy some serious self-control. Okay, so do not come and ask me for a bike if you cannot take care of your trike, right? So we start today with what's already in your hand. Many times you don't want to know what's in your hand because you feel it's not enough and it's better if you don't know. So just kind of shoot in the dark, and that is dangerous. You will not be trusted with more because it won't make any difference. It will just go the same way. So there's hope in this today that God's will for us is to tighten things up, get honest with ourselves, and know if I get $100 a week, I need to know where each dollar is going. If I get $10,000 a week, I need to go where everything's going. Do you know, Pastor Luke had mentioned this, that the average American has $500 in their budget they can't account for. So the average American, if you sit them down and say, jot down for me quickly your expenses, you know, your income and your expenses, and they write down everything they spent, it doesn't balance with their account. There's $500 missing. That may be the shoes you never told your husband about. You know, that credit card you pull out for that $50 or $20 item and nobody knows about it. Somehow, it has a way of popping up on your statement. There it is for the whole world to see. Can't hide. You know, numbers are numbers. So let us see what the Word of God says. Do not fear. Number one, do not fear. I mean, this is not a point, but let's start out with the scripture in Luke 12 that says, do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Okay? So our topic for this morning is God, money, and me. We're going to talk about God, about money, and me. Briefly about God. What about God and money? Let's look at the first scripture, Deuteronomy 8:18 says, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for he is the one who gives you power to get wealth. Wealth does not necessarily mean money only, but listen, wealth in every area of your life, the power to get wealth. If it wasn't so, he would have said, except for money. If God does not bless his church, us, who is going to pay for the spreading of the gospel? Why would God want to keep us poor? Have you seen poverty? Have you been in developing nations to see what it looks like where poverty rules and reigns? It's an ugly picture. Poverty is ugly, especially for women. Do you know, I will not go there, but the state of women, especially in countries where poverty is at its worst. Do you know who suffers the most? Besides children, but women. It goes hand in hand. When you look at the way women are treated, and you look at the wealth of the country or the poverty level of the country, direct correlation there. Women are the ones suffering. There's nothing pretty about poverty. There's nothing godly about poverty. It takes money to spread the gospel. It takes money to go find souls. It takes money to feed the poor and reach out. Who is going to pay for it if God's plan is not to bless his people? Seriously, we need to get a grip on this. So it is God's will for us to prosper, that he may establish his covenant which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. Also, Psalm 35:27, let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause, says the Lord. And let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified who has pleasure in the... Okay, let's do it again. Let the Lord be magnified who has pleasure in the prosperity. Some of you won't even say that. Prosperity, preaching and teaching. Well, this is biblical. The word is in the Bible. Who has pleasure in the poverty, in the struggling, in the lack, in the more than enough. Oh, I don't have. Oh, sorry, I don't. No, it says in the prosperity of his servant. Did God need the two mites of the widow? Did that make a difference in the box, in the money box? If you ever have this question about what I have and what I give, we've heard the message, pastor has preached the message, ask yourself this question about money. Did God need that dollar and 25 cent? Does the rock need your money? Does God need your money? No. He doesn't, but you need to be giving. You need to be generous in order to break the spirit of poverty over you. God does not need our money. We need to learn how to live in prosperity by giving, okay? So we're going to continue. That's God. We need to get that clear in our head. And I'm convinced that many of us cannot even get beyond that. Many of us have a hard time getting a grip on God really wanting to bless you. Oh, maybe he wants to bless me. He wanted to save your life from hell. Does he really want to heal you? Sure, we can believe. Now we get to money. Does he really want to bless you? Not so sure about that. So sort that out for yourself. If that is still a struggle that you have, you cannot quite trust God. That he has good intentions towards you with money, then you have the wrong view of God. Because God is a God of more than enough. He's a God of no lack. He's a God of plenty. But first of all, he's after your heart. Much more important to him to have your heart right. Okay, let's talk about money. Money. Okay, let me have two of you. Do you want to come here, Pastor Jess? Tracy. Okay, let's say you are money. Do you want to stand over there? Oh, I have to do this. Okay. You, let me get my little analogy here. Okay. This is money, and this is you. Okay? Can you get with me? She looks like a person, but this is actually money. She's just a $100 sign. Okay? I wanted to print out a sign, but I didn't. This is just money here. And this is you. This represents us. Can you turn around and look at her? And she is the money in your life. And she is higher than what you are. She is looking down at you. You are looking up at her. And sometimes you even bow before this. So the picture of this is sometimes we are in this position. We look up to the money and we say, money, what can you do for me? And you say, and the money says to me, well, you cannot do that. The money answers back and it says to me, do whatever you do, just don't give any away. That's what money tells you. Now, money has the upper hand. Money is telling us what we can do, how much we can spend, what God wants to do. Money is totally raised above us, that is what the Bible means when it talks about money is our master. How does this sound when you say, I don't have any money? You're lying, you have money. Your priorities are just different. Everybody has something, right? Or you say, I can do this, and it's all in the negative. When paycheck times come, when payday comes, what do you say? Oh man, I don't know if I can pay all the bills. It's like money is there. Money is looking down on me and telling me what I can do and what I cannot do. Now, this is not God's will, because at this point, money is now functioning in the spirit of mammon that rules over you. It tells you what you can do. It tells you what you cannot do. It controls you. You're looking up to it. This is how it should be. Can you change? Can you switch? Okay, now this is something good happening just right here. What has now changed? This is now, she's just dollars, 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 okay? This is just all money. Now, you and I need to get to this position that we look down on the money, whether it's a dollar, whether it's two, whether it's thousands, whether it's a million, whether it's little, whether it's much. I need to say, mammon and money, you do not rule me, but I am ruling you. So I'm going to stand as a godly woman. I'm going to look down on the money. And I'm going to tell my money, I am going to give a tenth of you away to the kingdom of God. And money goes, no! And I say, shut up. You're down there. I'm up here. I'm going to give some of you away. And then this is how I'm going to cut you up, and this is how I'm going to spend you. And the money goes nuts. The money says no. And I say, shut up. You're down there. I'm up here. I say, money, you will work for me. Money, you are blessed. Spirit of mammon, you are dead. You have no power over me. I take control. So I don't say I don't have any money. I say, I choose not to do this. I choose not to do that because I have choices with my money. So where are you? Where are you? Are you standing up here and money is there? Are you mastering your money? Are you telling the money what it will do for you? Or are you standing down there and just listening what mammon is telling you all the time? And again, it doesn't matter if you have $1 or $1 million, the same principle, okay? So can you remember that analogy? Thank you so much. So basically, that's the biblical view of money in a nutshell. Luke 16:13 says, no servant can serve two masters. Money wants to be served. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. So you're going to either serve God, be on your knees before God, which means you are at the top of the steps, or you're going to be on your knees before money. And money is going to tell you what you can do and what you cannot do. That's a huge mind switch, girls. That's what it means. You master the money or the money masters you. We need to start telling our pocketbooks what it will do. We need to start telling our money, you are blessed because I've given 10% of you to the house of God. You need to start taking charge of what you speak over your money. Okay. So, and it's replenishable. Okay, let's move on. Okay, let's get to me. It's God, money, me. What are my responsibilities now to receive God's blessing in my finances? So we know what is God's will about money to bless us. We know money wants to be worshipped. Money wants to master you. Money rules the system of society. You know that. How many times have you said money speaks, right? People do crazy stuff. They kill themselves for the sake of money. Money has power. Money has a spirit behind it. Money wants you to bow before it and tell you what you can do, what you can be, what you cannot do. And you need to come out from under that, go under the kingdom of God and start obeying the word of God and telling the money what it is going to. You are going to serve me. So next time you get that check in your hand, you get that cash in your hand, if you have an automatic deposit in your banking account, when you open it up and it's on your screen, I want you to do this. I want you to point at your money. And you point at your money and you say, money, this month you will serve me. every knee shall bow before the name of Jesus. And this is how it's going to go down this month. I am calling the shots. Even though you have bills to pay, even though there are things that you don't have, you need to just take charge of that. Okay, so then money. Then it's God, money, and now me. What are my responsibilities to receive God's blessing in finances? Number one, again, is be generous. I'm going to give you four B's, okay? Number one is be generous. In order to receive God's blessings, what is it that I can do? We know what God does. We know what money does. What can I do? Be generous. Isaiah 32 verse 8 says, but a generous man devises generous things, and by generosity he shall stand. Matthew 5:48 says, in a word, what I'm saying is grow up. Your kingdom subjects, now live like it. Live your God-created identity. Live generously and graciously towards others, the way God lives towards you. God is a generous God. And then last night we heard the message about in Luke 18 that God told the rich man to sell what you have and distribute it to the poor. Man, that was a message that guy, how many of you were in church last night? And you know the message about the rich man that came to Jesus and said, I've kept all these laws. What can I do to get eternal life? And I've done all these things. I've kept the laws. I've done. And Jesus said, there's one thing. Sell your things. Did God need his money? Did people need his? No, God needed his heart. And God knew this man was not ready for eternal life with God because he had another master. Some things were easy to do, but when it came to his money, he had a different king. He had a different master. He was standing at the bottom, and money was obviously ruling his life. So first of all, be generous. I want to tell you briefly about a lady that I knew. I think about who's the most generous person I ever knew. When I was in high school and elementary school, I had a friend down the street that came from a home that really didn't have much. At the time, in my life, that was probably the person I knew with the most difficult standard of living, with the lowest standard of living. I would say that had the least of anybody that I knew, okay? They just didn't have much. It was just struggling and four children and just felt sorry for them even then. But then this mother of this house taught me so many things that till this day, I will never forget her, how generous she was. She would give things away and give money to people that I did not ever see wealthy people do. She would just care about people. She would just, and it just spoke to me now. We can go into that. Was she supposed to do that when she didn't have? But what I saw was this woman's heart. She just had such a heart to give. She didn't give away instead of feeding her children. She fed her kids. But there was just a generosity on her that I've never seen in anybody else. And you will find, you will think, okay, it's the people who have more that's more generous. It's not the truth always. The most generous person I think I've ever known, the most generous people I've ever known, have not always been the people with the most money. Listen to this. You say, we were talking this morning about winning the lottery. You say, I will tithe when I get X amount of money. When I have $1,000 in my hand at the end of the month, I will tithe. Or when I work and I get that $3,000 check at the end of the month, or when I get the $500 check. Listen, if you have $100, let's say $1,000 in your pocket. Let's go back to $100. Let's say you have $100 in your hand. $10 is a tithe. That is a lot when you have only $100, right? That's hard to give. How about if you have $10,000 in your hand? Do you think it's easier to give $1,000 than the $10? Do you know it's not? It's not easier for those who have more. Statistically, just the people I know in my life that I happen to know, my realm of people, it is not the truth. If you cannot tithe, we heard the quote this weekend, Pastor Debbie quoted somebody. If you cannot tithe on the $100, I can assure you, you will not tithe on the $10,000. It's not easier to tithe on less money than it is on more money. So just cut that off. Just forget about that. If I have more, I will tithe. Because statistically, it's not even true. Because then your tithe increases and you look at the thousand and it's like, oh, it's $1,000, you know. Is this really a tithe? And you calculate it again. So it is not easier. It's not easier to tithe on more money. The key is to tithe on what you have, to work God's way on what you have. Okay, so point number one is be generous. The next one is be diligent. Be diligent. God blesses the hands who diligently work and put their hands to the plow. Be generous, but also be diligent. What does that mean? You have to be doing something, ladies. You have to be doing something for God to bless. I cannot other than use my own dad as an example. I think I've told you this before, but forgive me. My dad had no glamorous job, but my dad went to work like clockwork. He would get up and he would go to work. He would work hard with his hands. He would come back. He'd be washing himself off and he would sleep and he'd get up and he's this all amazing man. But tomorrow morning when the clock time comes around, he got up and he went to work. He got up. He didn't bring home the money of a rich man or a wealthy man, but God blessed his diligence. And my mom would take that money and tithe and offer always building fund missions, tithe building fund missions, as long as I can remember. And today my mom is, some of you may know, she's older. She'll be 89 next month. But you know what? She is in the final stages of her life being taken care of in a village where wealthy people go. Now explain that to me. She's never been a wealthy, she's been wealthy in all other things, not had $1 million, but she is has retired, lived in an apartment, now is in a care facility. Wait, seriously, if you don't have money, it's wealthy people. I look around and I think how this place is beautiful. It smells, it's good, it shines, smells delicious in there. The floors are shiny. It's just like, wow, I see with my own eyes my dad's diligence. He just did what he knew to do. He did not let an opportunity go by to put his hand to the plow and to work. And he did that long enough, and he's in heaven 10 years now, and his wife is still reaping the benefits. It just works. Diligence. Proverbs 10:4, he who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. That means you get up in the morning and you put your hand to something. If you work, you go to work. If you don't work, find something to do. If you have kids, that's what you do. If you don't have kids any longer, there's something else you could do that God wants to bless. Okay. Then number three is be smart. We're almost done. Be smart. Be smart by budgeting. Money is like water. It will, if it's not managed, it just flows away. Money has a way to do that. It follows the path of least resistance and just flows away. Just like a pail of water that you throw out in the sand, it just will run away. So money has to be managed. So what we wanted to offer you this morning, when we get to the breakout sessions, you know, we have small groups that meet at the tables, and we have a panel in there like we usually do. In addition to that, we have a forum in the youth game room this morning for those of you who want more information on how to budget. We're just going to spend time with you. We have printouts of budgets. We're going to show you for every $100 what you get for your income, how much money should go to housing, how much should go for the car, how much should go for everything, you know, just a system of budgeting. So it's going to be easy. We've got some easy steps for you. So if that is something that you want to talk about, just on budgeting, we're going to help you in the game room. And for the rest of you, of course, you go to your tables and go to the panel, okay? So let's just look briefly at budgeting. God wants you to manage your money and not it you. So keep account what you own, what you owe, what you earn, and what you spend. Basically, you have to know what comes in and you know what goes out. That is step number one. know what comes in and know what goes out. Proverbs 27 says, be diligent to know the state of your flocks and attend to your herds. For riches are not forever, nor does a crown endure to all generations. When the hay is removed and the tender grass shows itself and the herbs of the mountain are gathered in, the lambs will provide your clothing and the goats the pride of a field. You shall have enough goat's milk for your food, for the food for your household and the nourishment of your maid servants. But it starts off with know the state of your flock. It is a prerequisite to getting more and to being blessed is to know what you have. Plan, budget. Here's what's in your budget. What do you really need? What is necessary? And what is it that you want? Now, when we show you the budget, you will see that you start with tithing, then you start with a roof over your head, food to eat, and then go down from there. You cannot, let me just backtrack a little bit. My kids are car shopping. I went with them car shopping. So they go car shopping, they go to the dealership, and the dealer sits down with them, and this is the first thing the salesperson say. Now, any car salespeople here and your husbands, may God bless them, and they sell just every car on the lot, okay? But this is what they do. They sit at the table and they ask the kids, so, how much can you afford per month? Yeah. Not for a car, per month. How much can you pay per month? And I'm like, excuse me, can you just give us the price of the car? No. Nobody cares about the price of the car. Everybody wants a fancier car than what they can afford. So if you could just make the monthly payment, you're good. So now say, for instance, the car payment is $600. And you say, no, that's maybe too much. I think it's just reasonable to have a car payment of $300 a month. Let's just take that for example. And you tell the salesman, oh, I can do $300. You have no idea what the car cost. You have no idea the interest you're going to pay. You have no idea really what percentage of your income that $300 is. It just sounded like a good number to you. How many of you have purchased things because it sounded like a good number to you? That is when you now end up with a mess because now you have the pie and you were going to tithe next week. So you think the slice for the tithe, but then now you just bought the car and then you'd keep slicing the pie and slicing the pie. And then you say, oops, end of the month and there's no pie left. Or it's not the end of the month. It's halfway through the month and the pie is gone. Man, I'm going to tithe double next month. It's just down from there. The key is to know the state of your flock. You need to know the slices in your pie. You need to know this is the slice goes for that. This slice goes for that. So this slice is for transportation. Okay, this slice is a $150 slice for transportation. Oops, I don't think I can afford the $300 payment because it's not just the car payment that has to fit in that slice. All of transportation has to fit in there. I have to pay for the car. I have to change the oil. I have to put in gas. I have to maintain the car. Everything out of the car slice of pie. But now you take two slices to pay for the car, and then you have to dip into the third slice to put gas in the car. Now you're all messed up. And now you say, I don't have money, I can't tithe. Ay, ay, ay. Where does your expense fit in the slice of the pie? Now listen, nobody gets more nervous about this than me. I am not the personality of slicing pies. I'm like, here's the pie. Man, I love apple pie. Let's eat. That's me. There's enough for everybody. Come, everybody, let's eat. Let's eat the pie. Thus, God giving me this amazing husband that slices pies. He has all his days keeping me in the slices of the pies. And I, if you know when you're on a diet, you can eat one slice. Now you've eaten the slice. Now you see the pie. Now you go with a fork when nobody's looking. And you just cut the line straight. It wasn't quite straight. And you eat that, and it's like, oh, now the other side is not straight. I just cut that off. It just has to be right. Oh my gosh, this is what we do with our money. And somehow you think, where did the pie go? It's like, I don't know where the pie went. I've had to learn. This is for me, I'm preaching. I've had to learn, no, step back. Hands off. So we're going to slice the pie first. I hate that. I hate portioning and rationing food. I hate that. It's just like, eat, people, eat, eat, eat. So this is just really hard for me. You know how people count food and how many rolls are in a bag for your family? I'm like, there are 6 in the family. How many rolls? Ah, just get a big bag of rolls, you know. So it's really hard for me, but you have to plan and budget and save. And then I'm going to have to close now, the last one. We'll continue with that in the forum. The last one is be content. Be generous. Be diligent. Be smart with your pie. And be content. Learn to be content. Look at this. Philippians 4, verse 11. Not that I speak in regard of need, for I have learned. It didn't come by itself. Learn to be content. In whatever state I am, to be content. Paul says, I know what it's like to have. I know what it's like to not have. But whatever it is, girls, that you have today is yours. You manage it. You be diligent. You be generous, okay? And you be smart, and you be content with what God has given you. Why don't you go out this next week and month and master your money according to God's word? God bless you.